Blog Talk Radio.
A blossom fell from off a tree. It settled softly on the lips you turned to me. The gypsies say, and I know why. A falling blossom only touches lips that lie. A blossom fell, and very soon I saw you kissing someone new beneath the moon. I thought you loved me. You said you loved me. We planned together to dream forever. The dream has ended, for true love died. The night a blossom fell and touched two lips that lied. A blossom fell, and very soon I saw you kissing someone new beneath the moon. I thought you loved me. You said you loved me. We planned together to dream forever. The dream has ended, for true love died. The night a blossom fell and touched two lips that lied.
Oh man, there's a lot of
blossoms. How's it like Hillary Clinton finally taking responsibility for Benghazi? Yep. A famous saying is, the buck stops at my receptionist. Yeah, do you know where she announced that she had misled the American people about Benghazi? She announced it in Peru to people who couldn't speak English. And six llamas are laughing. Oh, we're coming up on Christmas. What's that, 12 lords are leaping? Yeah, six llamas are laughing. I used that Christmas analogy when they attacked the Catholic Church. You know, the pedophile priests, the homosexual pedophiles are in the Catholic Church. There are none in the rubber rooms in the communist cucumber schools. No, there are none in the military. There are none stalking Boy Scouts. And UPS pulled their donations to the Boy Scouts. Their big whopping 67,000, I think it was, out of 47 million that they give to the other prides. Yeah, poor Boy Scouts, man. They must have to meet underground now. They've been haunted. They've been bullied by the gay community. Yeah, you want to see bullying? You let a kid show up in his Boy Scout uniform at a gay pride parade. You see how many vultures descend on him. Yeah, the minority now rules the majority in the United States. You take your orders from one disgruntled piece of sea crap. That's crap from the sea. Yeah.
Okay, boys and girls, that's an oldie. It's 18 minutes long. I'm not going to do that one. But we will do a tribute to the guys that were left behind in Benghazi, left to die so that they could cover up Obama's failings. hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril in Benghazi. Yeah. Sold out. Sold out for votes. Sold out to win an election. Yes. That is sad. Really sad. Sold out and covered up. And I see in these hearings that a Republican went after the general that told the truth. So we got a rhino that's really a fifth columnist. And he's from California. That must be terrible. The height of betrayal. You know what should happen to him? He should have to have his picture taken up against the wall.
Ready! Ready! Aim!
Big smile!
Fire!
Okay. Let us go to the blogs and let's see what's happening. I can't believe Obama covered up Benghazi. Let's see what that one says. Oh, that's the show for tonight. Why does he hate us? We gave him the White House. He has his own jumbo jet. He came to work 5 years ago with $3 million, and now he's up to $9 million. I mean, you know, come on. It's a good government job. He can always visit his hometown in Mombasa. Why should he waste his time dividing the country, buying up all the ammo in the nation, appointing czars, losing military secrets, playing race cards, denouncing the USA in Malaysia? It's good he got out of Malaysia. The Muslims killed communists there. He gave up a big economic increase this month. He gave us a big economic increase. Yeah, did you see the windfall? 0.01%, and that's thanks to heroin sales in Colorado. The military is in sad shape. I hope Grenada does not invade us. He smuggles Mexicans into the USA to vote for the party of death, the Party de la Muerte. Yes, vota demo camo, we give you citizenship. Benghazi, how is Hillary's phony blood clot coming? Is she ready to testify truthfully this time? Who cares how they died? I'm running for office. Terrible, man. Terrible. Oh, another scandal, breaking scandal. Do you get up in the morning and you say, you're afraid to turn on the TV, say, what has he done to us today? Every day there's bad news, isn't there? You find out that they're passing another law. Pretty soon they're going to have a shoe law. All women have to wear flats because it's better for their feet. Yeah, but the men could wear the heels. Muslim Museum down the street from the Clinton Towers. You know where the Clinton Towers are? They were christened in 1993 by Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, under the careful watch, hawk-like watch, of President Pinocchio Pants and his wife, the bitch of Benghazi. Yes, yes, it's getting tough, isn't it? Getting a little hard. Yes, the gloves are coming off. People starting to get nasty. They're not biting their tongue anymore. They're spitting in your face. Muslim Museum, down the street from the Clinton Towers. Oh, that is great. Will they have Iraqi and Iranian torture chambers there? Will they have the Iron Maiden that Hussein used on the soccer players that lost the game? Will they have the display of the Kuwaiti mothers and daughters being trucked into the Kuwait Zoo to be raped by the Republican Guard? Will they have photos of the little sorty Christian girl who had her lips sewn shut and one eyelid for saying she loved Jesus? Will they have photos of St. Thomas Church in Baghdad after it was destroyed by deeply religious Muslims? Will they show pictures of women being stoned to death at the soccer stadium in Kabul? How about the women and men hanged off a tow truck in the Iranian Shiite rally? Will they have a mock-up of a hijacked plane used to train deeply religious jihadis like the one in Salman Park, Iraq? How about a pilot seat to practice throat cutting? Will they show stewardesses being stabbed? Will they have footage of the jihad planes coming down the Hudson River heading for paradise? Will they show 911 throat cutting practice on camels? Will they show the Pakistani selling of Danny Pearl to the Saudis who cut his throat? Will they show the kidnapping of an Egyptian Christian girl and raping her just before her wedding? And when her father went to the police station to get his daughter back, they laughed at him? Will they show footage of Boko Haram in Africa wiping out whole villages? Will they show a husband disfiguring the face of his wife with a knife as a punishment? I, for one, can't wait. Will they have pictures of the 200 schoolgirls in Nigeria being kidnapped by the Salam Aleikum boys? Will the bop bags be free? What is it like to live in the 7th century? And then I have a picture of four GIs, and they're holding up a giant painting of Saddam Hussein smoking a cigar, standing next to the two World Trade Center towers as the second plane creates a fireball. And that's why we went to Iraq. We had to take them out of the picture. And then I got a picture of that St. Thomas Church totally demolished. All you can see is a cross on the door. And then I have my slogan from my challenge coin, 911, We Forget Nothing. SpiritOfAmericaParty.com, big American flag and an eagle on it. Nothing outperforms American, one nation under God. And on the back of the coin, I have the two towers, one on fire and the plane coming into the second one. And it says 911, We Forget Nothing. NUTTIN, New Yorkies, baby. And then underneath I have, wherever the war, $, support our troops, $. Wherever the war, don't let these little faggy communists tell you that we shouldn't have been here and we shouldn't have been there and we never should have dropped the A-bomb. But if they had given it to the Russians, they would have said we had it coming when the Russians gave it to us. Have you seen my gun cleaning hat? I know a guy that wore a hat. He was a scary looking guy. He wore a hat. You know what it said on the hat? New York effing, spelled out, city. And if you were standing in line with him at the supermarket, you'd be very nervous. Okay, so let's see what else we got here. Oh, Wallet Shubat, you want to? Wallet Shubat should be able to contribute to some of the outrages from the religion of peace. Yeah, a piece of you, a piece of me. And he's pitching to rescue, donate to rescue Christians. Yeah, there are people that are raising money to rescue Christians. Government to filmmaker behind Benghazi fiasco. Shocking. The explosiveness of a smoking gun email from a White House deputy who directed then-UN Ambassador Susan Rice to blame a video for the Benghazi attack is missing an essential link, a U.S. federal informant. The man who made the inflammatory movie himself, Nakula Basili Nakula. He was an FBI informant. Oh, man, that's unbelievable. You know, when we went to Iraq, remember all the money they found? They also found a trailer load of documents implicating a lot of people who were getting oil for food money. Do you remember that? And they were sending garbage and junk in 40-foot containers and billing Saddam for $1 million and kicking back and then getting an oil contract. Do you know who one of the people, one of the outfits was that had oil contracts? The Russian Orthodox Church. I seen it with my own eyes. Where's the paperwork? I can't find it. So we'll call it alleged. So let's see what this says. New evidence links U.S. federal government to filmmaker. Oh, so that poor guy that's rotting away in jail, he lost all his civil rights, and there's nobody, the ACLU won't even talk to him. The explosiveness of a smoking gun email from a White House deputy who directed the UN ambassador Susan Rice to blame a video for the Benghazi attack is missing an essential link, a U.S. federal informant. The man who made the inflammatory movie himself, Nakula Basile Nakula. Nakula became an informant of U.S. federal agents in a deal which we have court records. So this is from, I don't know if I told you who this was from. This is from Walid Shubat. He was a Muslim, and he didn't like killing people, so he converted to the religion of peace and love. And that's what the Middle East has got to do. They got to come back to Jesus. Yes, and the communists hate that when I say that, because they're looking to divide this country in so many little increments that an amoeba couldn't pull itself together. The court case for Nakula can be reviewed when the Daily Beast effectively made the case that Nakula had very likely been an informant during the Clinton administration in 1997, 4 years after Clinton let Osama bin Laden try out taking down the World Trade Center, and then he kicked the can down the road into Bush's inauguration. The Smoking Gun also reported that Nakula was arrested in June of 2009 on charges related to bank fraud, then wrote, denied bail, Nakula, a married father of three, was locked up at the Metropolitan Detention Center in L.A., where he began cooperating with Justice Department lawyers and federal agents. During a series of debriefing sessions, Nakula provided investigators with a detailed account of the fraud operation and fingered the man who allegedly headed the operation, according to comments made by his lawyer at sentencing. Nakula identified the ring's leader as Eid Salama, a notorious fraudster who has been tracked for more than a decade. How come he's still here? How come you had to track this guy for 10 years when you could have given him the old 23 Skidoo? Speaking of 23 Skidoo, did you ever hear the acronym FUBA? Did you ever hear it? If you watch Saving Private Ryan, they use it in Saving Private Ryan, FUBA. You know what it means? F'd up beyond all reason. FUBAR, that's what it is, FUBAR. And the other one was SNAFU. And it's basically the same thing. SNAFU, let me see if I can remember what it was. It has something to do with everything is going along as usual, effed up. If you use the $500 figure, let's see. We don't want to. I think we got sidetracked here. Yeah, we got sidetracked. As a result of Nakula's cooperation, Henderson told Judge Christina Schneider, we all know what's going to happen. Salama is going to get arrested someday, and based on the debriefing information turned over, he's going to enter a guilty plea, or if he doesn't, then Mr. Nakula is going to be called on to testify at trial. Henderson was right about one thing that someday eventually came. He was wrong, too. Iyad was arrested by Canadian Peel Police in January of 2011, as reported by Shubat.com. I was notified by Jeffrey Mason, my contact at CPP, that attempts were made to run Iyad over to U.S. federal agents for 7 months, but to no avail. After months of unsuccessfully pleading with the FBI to take Iyad, the Canadians put him on a one-way flight to Palestine. See, that's what they do. And that's what we should be doing. Coincidentally, this was about the same time that Nakula allegedly began casting and shooting the video, using facilities that belonged to Christians. Actors were used and exploited by Nakula, who dubbed inflammatory lines over their voices. What we report here is not conjecture, and neither is it conspiracy theory. We have exchanged emails with the Canadian Peel Police from its constable, Jeffrey Mason. Nakula was allowed to plea, bargain in exchange for helping the feds capture someone they didn't want. What they wanted was leniency for Nakula. How does it make any sense that the evidence supports that U.S. federal agents aided Nakula using a bone to convince Judge Snyder, while that bone was thrown away when it was in the jaws of a U.S. federal government? Nakula was given a lighter sentence in return for something other than reasons given at the time. What makes our case stronger is that Shoebot.com is uniquely qualified to speak of this because of a familial connection to the maker of the film Innocence of Muslims, Nakula, Basile Nakula, through Nakula's partner in crime, Iyad. You can read our previous reports here, here, and here. You can click on them. The administration was helping to push the Muslim agenda behind blaming the video. We know conclusively that the Obama Justice Department was involved with the maker of the video as early as 2009. And there is more. Earlier this year, Shoebot.com reported on a mysterious call Walid received from the maker of the film himself, Nakula, and we have it recorded. What is more mysterious is how Nakula got Walid's private contact numbers at a time Walid reported publicly in an interview with WRKO, a talk show host, Jeffrey Kuna, that he was being harassed and that his phone conversations were being monitored or tapped. When asked, Nakula said he got it from an individual. When we checked with that individual, he was amazed, stating he didn't give it to him. And how could Nakula even know that individual without knowing Walid's phone records? As for the purpose of the call, Nakula wanted us to help him clear the name of a longtime partner in crime, Iyad. America has been told that Nakula is an anti-Islam filmmaker who is a Coptic Christian from Egypt, yet Iyad is a Muslim, a fundamentalist who hates Copts. It made no sense for him to partner with a Coptic Christian for so many years, nor did it make sense that the supposed Coptic Christian Nakula would be so interested in clearing a Muslim fundamentalist name. So here's what we conclude. The White House has officially been caught lying about the video being responsible for the attacks. Shouldn't everything it asserted about the video be called into question? For example, a mantra that came out of the mouths of both Barack Obama and who cares how they died, Clinton, repeatedly was that the video was something the United States government has absolutely nothing to do with. Hillary, on September the 14th, 2012, hours prior to the smoking gun email sent by White House Deputy Ben Rhodes, they got a film of Hillary, and they got a film of Obama. 2 days after the Benghazi attacks, Shoebot.com revealed the motive behind Muslims in the Middle East blaming the video. The motive was simple and calculated. It was to pressure non-Muslim countries to enact and enforce laws that would make any and all criticism of Islam illegal and punishable. And during his September 18, 2012, with David Letterman, Obama said the video caused great offense to the Muslim world and then stated, extremists and terrorists use this as an excuse to attack a variety of our embassies, which shows he understood at least part of the movie. He knew what the Muslim fundamentalist agenda was and continued lying about the video being responsible, which had the effect of aiding and abetting those fundamentalists. So, despite knowing that Benghazi was not about a video, the Obama administration and Obama himself continued to push the narrative that the video was responsible for both Benghazi and the larger unrest in the Middle East. And this allowed Muslims who wanted to criminalize criticism of Islam in non-Muslim countries to share at least the means beyond furtherance of an agenda with the Obama administration. Conventional wisdom is that the Obama administration blamed the video exclusively because it didn't want harm to come to the election year narrative that Al-Qaeda was on the run right into Benghazi. However, when one traffics entangled webs, there is seldom one reason for anything. It is quite possible that the truth about Benghazi would reveal a dastardly operation reportedly run by the CIA director, David Petraeus, to run weapons out of Libya and to Syria through Turkey. This operation allegedly began in early 2012, and that would put the blood of four dead Americans on the hands of many in the administration. The fact remains that by pushing the movie, the narrative on Benghazi, the Obama administration was pushing a Muslim fundamentalist agenda, which was to criminalize speech. When it comes to Nakula's schemes, in fact, Iyad was identified as the bigger fish. In 2009, Nakula accepted a lighter sentence in exchange for his help in arresting Iyad. He became a federal informant, which makes him an agent of the U.S. government. He was involved with the Obama administration, as Shubat.com reported. How would I know all this? How was I made involved in all this? Iyad Salama is my first cousin. Oh, man. We're in trouble, folks. You know, we're all watching, we're playing video games and we're texting each other. You know what? Do you think they'll let you keep your iPad when you go to the concentration camp? Well, at least on the train. They'll let you keep it on the train. You're losing your country. You don't even know it. You're inheriting nothing. You're going to have nothing. You're going to inherit nothing. All you're going to inherit is the whirlwind. God help us all. God help us all. Okay, you know where flamenco comes from? It's a Spanish copying of Arab music in southern Spain, and Arabs and Spaniards clap the same way. There's a way they hit their hands that makes that sound. And the Spaniards copied it from the Arabs when the Moors invaded Spain and stayed there for a couple of hundred years. And the gyrations are of Arab women dancing. So they sort of made their own mix and their own version of it. It's very beautiful. And you can see a lot of it in the hills of Granada. And there's a story about an American who was in a bar in Granada, and he asked the bartender where he could meet some nice flamenco dancers. And the bartender says you have to go up into the caves in the hills. And you stand outside the cave and you go, ooh, and you'll hear a voice come back to you, ooh, and you go in the cave and you make love to the flamenco dancer. So he went up, he found the biggest cave he could find, and he stood outside and he went, ooh, and sure enough, the call came back, ooh, and he ran in and he got hit by a train. Okay. So, now that I've told you that, we'll give you a little a Louis Armstrong if I can find it. Hard-hearted Hannah, hokey pokey, I'll be seeing you. I thought I'd have it real quick. And it's the catch-up song. You know the catch-up song? It's 2:55. We'll give you the catch-up song. I can cut it short. Oh, no, that's... Oh, this is a nice one. This is Romeo and Juliet.
A time for us, someday there'll be, when chains are torn, by courage born, of a love that's free. A time when dreams, so long denied, can flourish, as we unveil the love we now must hide. A time for us, someday there'll be a new world, a world of shining hope for you and me. And thorns we will endure as we pass surely through every storm. A time for us, someday there'll be a new.
Looking at the postcard, and it's a mountaintop, and there's a Marine standing in front of a cross, and the cover of the on the front page of the postcard, it says, "In memory of our fallen, may they rest in peace." And on the back, it's one of these you sign and you send in to General James Amos, Commandant of the Marine Corps. "Sir, I'm writing in support of the Marine families stationed at Camp Pendleton, California. I respectfully request that you stand with them as they face persecution by the atheists from Americans United for Separation of Church and State." That's as communist as you can get. They pull at your heartstrings and then they eat your heart out. "Those who have lost loved ones in service to our country have a right to honor their dead with the sacred cross. As free Americans, we have a constitutionally guaranteed right to this religious freedom. The Camp Pendleton Cross should stand. Thank you for taking on this battle. Stay strong and may God bless you. When the minority rules the majority, you no longer have a nation. You've got a dictatorship. So we'll give you a little whiff and poof.
From the table up at Birdland to the place where Dizzy dwells, in the beards and the funny hats they love so well, all the boppers are assembled, and when they're really high, they constitute a weird personnel. All the riffs these cats are playing are crazy, cool, and gone like this. Ooly-oo, Scooby-Goo, Ooby-Dooby-Dooby, Ooppa-Bee-Doppin' like that. So let them beat their brains out till their flatted fifths are gone, and they'll pass and be forgotten like the rest. Yes, they're poor little cats who have lost their way. Ba 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 ba. But every wrong note that they play is a gem. So Lord have mercy on every one of them, for they
bye-bye. Okay, this is a blog from rightmarch.com, Patriotism in Action. Obama is the first to violate the Constitution. Select here and demand that Congress impeach him now. Now, why are they saying that he should be impeached? Well, they say he's the first president to violate the War Powers Act, unilaterally executing American military operations in Libya without informing Congress in the required time period. You know, Muammar Gaddafi was up in age, man. You know, his own people would have taken him out. I don't know if it really was worth going and getting him. It definitely wasn't worth it when you see what happened to Benghazi. And you know who the source of that is? The Huffington Post, which is a terrible rag, the real lying rag, the country divider site. First president to triple the number of warrantless wiretaps of U.S. citizens. And you know who the source of that is? The ACLU. First president to sign into law a bill that permits the government to hold anyone suspected of being associated with terrorism indefinitely without any form of due process, no indictment, no judge or jury, no evidence, no trial, just an indefinite jail sentence. And the source of that is the Business Insider, and the bill's name is the NDAA bill. First president to refuse to tell the public what he did for 8 hours after being informed. That's the key question. Mr. President, where were you while these guys were dying and fighting for their lives? What were you doing that a U.S. ambassador was facing imminent death during a terror attack? First president to lie about the reason for an ambassador's death, blaming it on an internet video rather than what he knew to be the case, the Al-Qaeda-linked terror group Ansar al-Sharia. Source, House Oversight Committee. First president to have an innocent filmmaker thrown into jail after lying about the cause for a deadly attack on U.S. diplomats, using the filmmaker as a scapegoat. And guess who gave him up? CNN. First president to use the IRS to unfairly target political enemies as well as pro-Catholic and pro-Jewish groups. And the source for that is Ted Cruz. First president to lawfully seize telephone records of more than 100 reporters to intimidate and or bully them. That's from the Associated Press. And the fellow that worked for James Rosen, he never said much, but he looked real nervous. And I think they went after his father, his family, too. First president to witness a single cabinet secretary commit multiple Hatch Act violations without acting, speaking out, disciplining, or firing that person. That's from the New York Times. First president to personally lobby senators to violate Senate rules and destroy the filibuster through the nuclear option to consolidate more executive power. Source, The Wall Street Journal. First president to create his own propaganda news network and bypass journalists, and these jerks sit there. They're like kids in the peanut gallery waiting for a taste of the news that he's going to give them. Having developed his own network of websites, social media, and even created an online newscast to dispense favorable information and images, and the source for that is the Associated Press. First president to barricade open air at government monuments during a partial government shutdown. Source, Representative Steve Stockman. Yeah, that was a flip the bird to the vets. And you know what? Flip the bird to the little kids. Don't let them in the White House. We can't afford to have them. But you can gas up my plane many times. First president to have his attorney general held in criminal contempt of Congress for his efforts to cover up Operation Fast and Furious that killed over 300 individuals. It's more than that. It's 100,000 Mexicans. They don't want to tell you. Mexican government sucks too. They're the ones that are shoving all these people over the border. And they've got plenty of money. It's the 13th largest economy in the world. They're rich. The boy's on the top. Everybody else is a peon. And the peons are coming across the border, and the Democrats are sucking them up, teaching them how to vote a Democrat, even though they're not citizens. It's okay. You can vote. They didn't ask for that. They don't ask for ID. You don't have to show them anything. First president to claim executive privilege to shield a sitting attorney general from a contempt of Congress finding for perjury and withholding evidence from lawful subpoenas, source Business Insider. First president to issue unlawful recess appointments over a long weekend while the U.S. Senate remained in session against the advice of his own Justice Department, and the source is the United States Court of Appeals. First president to fire an inspector general of AmeriCorps for catching one of his friends in a corruption case. Source, Gawker. First president to order a secret amnesty program that stopped the deportations of illegal immigrants across the U.S. including those with criminal convictions. Source, DHS documents uncovered by Judicial Watch, and Judicial Watch just caught him on this Benghazi thing. So you got to give kudos to Judicial Watch. First president to sue states for enforcing voter ID requirements, which were previously ruled legal by the U.S. Supreme Court. Source, CNN. First president to encourage racial discrimination and intimidation at polling places. The new Black Panthers voting intimidation case. Source, Investor Business Daily. First president to refuse to comply with a House Oversight Committee subpoena. Source, Heritage Foundation. First president to arbitrarily declare an existing law unconstitutional and refuse to enforce it. Defense of Marriage Act, ABC News. First president to increase surveillance of American citizens under the Patriot Act by 1,000% in 4 years, and that's from his pet media, NBC News. First president to demand a company hand over $20 billion to one of his political appointees, BP Oil Spill Relief Fund. Oh, man, that was a home run, wasn't it? First president to have a law signed by an auto pen without being present. Oh, man. Yeah, there's some impeachable offenses there, and I think the worst is yet to come. Our veterans are dying, and you'll never guess why. And you'll never guess why. What's wrong with this country? We will give free health care to every illegal alien, but when it comes to our veterans, our nation's heroes, the federal government gives them flips them the bird. It is no secret that the military has seen its paychecks and benefits cut. It's to discourage the good guys from joining. They'll be replaced by incompetence. And then Putin will get the phone call. Come on in, everything's ready. It is no secret. Rather than reforming the bloated domestic programs that continue to pile on hundreds of billions of dollars to the deficit, the goal is to break the financial support for the military. If they can't buy weapons, they can't improve weapons, they can't get new equipment, they will be ripe for defeat. The Obama administration has attempted to balance the budget on the backs of our veterans and servicemen and women. At the top of the list of atrocities is the fact that we have thousands of military veterans who are literally dying while waiting for medical treatment from the Department of Veterans Affairs. And I tell you, I look at these top dogs, and none of them look like they go without a meal or a drink. I tell you, and they don't look stressed, and they all have nice coiffed hairdos. I'm not talking about people passing away in waiting rooms. I'm referring to the fact that they're dying after waiting for years to be seen by a doctor. That girl, that guy that died, they sent him home. He was peeing blood. She said that he peed a tremendous amount of blood. We made a simple promise to our veterans. I know I did. When George Bush first sent them to avenge 9/11, I said, I got your back. I'm not going to let what happened to the vets from Vietnam happen to you. And don't forget, the communists won, and they won the war here. Those were all VC that were doing the peace thing, pot and political correctness and peace. They were the anti-war crowd. They were the anti-win crowd. And better somebody else went and took their place than they had to go. Mater and Pater sent them to Sweden. Yeah. And in the meantime, while we were getting our lumps over in Vietnam, they were taking the country down from the inside. And now they're all in the Democrat Party. Those are all the draft dodgers. They even had a president that was a draft dodger. Yeah, once in a while they'll throw up a veteran like Charlie Rangel, who voted to burn the flag that drapes the coffins of Korean War vets. Over the past year, we have hammered Congress to force the VA to work through its backlog of hundreds of thousands of unprocessed and long overdue veterans' medical claims. You want to see what the health care plan is going to look like? You can take a look at this. You might remember that since the Obama administration has come out and announced that the VA has made significant strides in reducing the backlog, we were told the problems of the backlog were behind us. Who just spent $129 million to revamp the website for registering for health care? Who spent $25 million and then took it down? What state was that? This guy is losing money and nobody knows it. He's losing our shirt. All the progress and advancement celebrated by the Obama turned out to be a big fat lie. Everything this guy does is a lie. It's the party of lies. I never played the harmonica with that woman. It's the party of lies, bold-faced lies. One lies and the other swears to it. We got 7 minutes left. I'm going to do a Nana, Little Brazilian, with Dizzy Gillespie.
Well, the time has come for me to tell you the story of this song, also about the composer of this song. His name, Moacir Santos. Once I asked Moacir, how did you get inspired to write the song? And he told me, I was meditating by the sea when I saw a vision. And he proceeded to ask me, have you seen Nana? Have you seen Nana?
Another.
Okay, we're winding down our show. One of the bleeding heart, the communist issues, trying to do away with the death penalty for horrendous crimes, was that this guy who died by lethal injection, and it took him 49 minutes to die. But that little girl that he raped, and I think he shot her in the face with the shotgun, and then buried her alive. She suffered a real horrible death, and she didn't have it coming at all. He had it coming. But I would say that lethal injection should be replaced by the firing squad. I think the firing squad is nice and clean, you know. I know in Russia what they do, they stand you over a drain, and the guy just walks up behind you and puts a bullet in the back of your head. And that would be good. That's nice and swift, you know. That's why they call it the coup de grace. Yeah. Let me tell you, you got to be on the other side. You got to be the victim, and then you'll understand why you need the death penalty. I think Utah has the death penalty by firing squad. If I recall, I don't know if they still do it, but what they do is they have like 7 shooters, and only one has a real bullet. And nobody knows which one takes the guy out. That's good. It's when your conscience is clean. Yeah. No, horrendous crimes requires, as a matter of fact, if it's beyond the shadow of a doubt, you caught the guy in flagrante delicto, you got him nailed 3 ways to Sunday, a van should pull up with the judge and the jury. They should have the trial right there and the execution right there. Of course, back in the Texas days, it was all you needed was 20 foot of rope and a slap at a horse's ass. But, yeah, lethal injection may not be the way to go, only because it's better if it's really instant checkout. That's what we need, instant checkout. And anybody who feels sorry for somebody, you see, do you remember that that scene up in Connecticut? I'm trying to remember the town in Connecticut where the guy was a doctor and he had two daughters and a wife, and the two guys broke into the house, and all they had was a baseball bat, and they beat the doctor to a pulp, a bloody pulp. And then they went upstairs, and they gathered up the women. They took the mother to the bank to get money, and then they raped the girls and tied them to beds, and then they set the house on fire. And then they surrendered to the police. Yeah, you know what? Don't even get me started. And you know what was really sad? The doc should have had a gun. And his wife should have had a gun. And the kids in Sandy Hook, they should have had guards in the school. The community could have afforded 2 guards. And that little rat that killed his mother and then went to town on the school, he would have been stopped at the door. As soon as he reached for that rifle, one of those 2 guards could have brought him down. And all of those kids would be alive, and the 5 teachers. But you see, liberalism will get us all killed. Because, they, like Savage says, liberalism is a mental disorder. So, we're closing out the show. And let me see. We will pay a tribute to the 40 veterans who actually died in a combat zone in a VA hospital. They died waiting for help. Once again, the Obama administration leaves people to die on the battlefield.